Last slide, I'm just offering a high-level timeline for our efforts. In this first quarter, we're going to focus on the negotiations and STB approval. And also, we'd be meeting with the FRA to establish a baseline. And obviously, both processes are very familiar to us. It's what we've done many times over. We'll focus on Watsonville. We'll focus on a summer program for the repair programs and the maintenance that's needed on the entire railroad. 2018 excursions will take quite a bit of effort, and we would start immediately in the planning stages. We do have a strategic alliance with American Heritage Railroad, who's the largest excursions railroad company in North America. And so with them in tow, we would do this in the right way, in the highest quality manner possible. And we obviously would support the outcomes of your studies. And lastly, with the Suntan Special, it's going to be a comprehensive undertaking that's going to involve Capital Corridor, TAMC, Caltrans, and so forth. And so it would be a major undertaking. It's going to take some time to put together. So in conclusion, Progressive Rail is here to help this commission. We would it'd be a privilege and honor to be the operator, and we would like to deliver upon your priorities. We have our own standards that go far beyond minimum threshold compliance, and we would invite any of the commissioners to come see us in action. You can come to any of our railroads and see us and see how we operate and see how we go about our business. And also talk to customers and municipalities who have experience with us. With respect to the forward actions, we will do everything in lockstep with the commission and also not get ahead of any studies, but be there to support and collaborate and be there as a responsive corporate citizen in this county.
Thank you very much. Are there questions that people have for Progressive Rail? Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Chair. So I had you have forecasts here, by the way. Welcome to, can everybody hear me? Welcome to Santa Cruz County. I was looking on the financials in terms of storage and rental. And last night at our city council meeting, we had a presentation from Save Our Shores, in which they were talking about the real problems of offshore drilling. And with Fire Carrier, there were issues with some of the oil tankers that were on the line that presented somewhat of a clear and present danger to places like in Watsonville, the Slough, and so forth. Take me through the whole idea of storage and rental and what your vision is. I noticed in your forecast from 2018, you're looking at right around $105,000, but ramps up to about $1 million by 2022. Does that represent, 10 cars on average, 20, 100? And because you brought up, I also want to mention the rail and trail, because it was illustrated here. In your vision, if there was a rail and trail, and with the trail, if people wanted to ride their bikes, would there be massive numbers of just rail cars sitting there for their pleasure? To me, that's something of a problem. I just kind of want to get what your vision is and the number of storage cars that $1,016,000 represents.
Commissioner, just to clarify, that line item in that projection is not rail car storage. Rail car storage does not feature in our forward plan. As a company, we have done rail car storage on occasion during downturns of the economy. You know, a problem that exists in those periods is rail cars need to be parked somewhere. And they can't stay on the main lines and block the passage of the freight trains. So we have done rail car storage. but it is not a feature, a main feature of what we stand for or what we try to derive income from. So we have no projections of rail car storage.
So would you exclude those from your...
So what those line items are is pertains to warehouse storage. And so warehouses are a feature of what we stand for and what we derive income from. So the warehouse storage of product, we receive rents, basically. And as this aspect of our company grows, and we anticipate it to do the same as our other railroads, we anticipate getting meaningful income from that. And it would include the Red Diamond subsidiary that we have, where we actually process and package product, which we anticipate being a meaningful business here with respect to both feed and also agricultural users.
Commissioner Rackin.
I'm impressed that you brought not only yourself, but your chief counsel and people at the top of your firm. Your headquarters are in Minnesota. You operate in other states, and you said, I think, six states. What kind of presence from the organization itself would we expect during this sort of planning process and after you're actually running a railroad here of some kind? Would you expect to have a headquarters? I mean, I don't have any sense at all of how you would operate a national organization where you had an operation here in a little community.
I would welcome moving our headquarters here.
at least this week, for sure.
I have to talk to the owners. So there's going to be a continuum with regard to employment and how we go about business. So day one, we would need to set up an office and have presence primarily in the operations teams and the maintenance teams. We do have centralized functions out of our headquarters. And so all of the back office, the administration, finance, legal, and so forth are based there. And we have centralized teams that include mechanical and maintenance of way and transloading and so forth. But as we start building some scope and scale here, we would start employing more. And so my request would be patient, give us about a year or so to find our feet and let us start getting some traction with bringing people back to rail. Typically in the past, it's taken about 3 years for us to really find our stride. But in this area, we think we have it properly assessed in terms of not only customers in our network that we think that want to locate here, and also with regard to how we can basically bring some of the agricultural aspects of the industry here back to rail. Look at where the warehousing in Watsonville and see that essentially almost everyone's gone to trucking. And so we have experience in doing the opposite and also working with class ones, in particular Union Pacific, to create sort of bespoke, dedicated corridors for expediting freight. So in the case of perishable fruits and vegetables, there used to be a salad bowl express here. And so we would aim to reinstate some of that. We've had some introductory conversations on the idea with Union Pacific. They've been receptive. They are much more receptive to boxcar freight now than they've been in a long time. And so we think that plays right into this specific this item. And then also with regard to how we would go about supporting agriculture from the inbound, fertilizer, plastic mulch, and so forth.
Mr. Brown.
Thank you for putting together a really impressive report for us to consider. And I just want to ask a quick question, or if you could maybe to give a little bit of information, because I feel like I missed something in terms of your engagement with the communities that are going to be affected by p- potential, especially the excursion services that you're talking about. There are some small communities that are going to experience significant impact as a result of that. So if you've talked with them, if you plan to begin to talk with them, just wondering.
So have we spoken to any of the communities to date? The answer is no. We didn't want to get ahead of the commission. But as a matter of practice, we're open and transparent. We would like to take everyone on our journey. We would like to engage them, to see the merits, and deal with any of the issues head on. So we're not opaque in any regard. We understand the impact of both noise or with regard to the number of patrons that might be involved, hopefully, on some of these excursions. We'd like to also see, you know, focus on the flip side of that and engage on the positive aspects as well. You know, tourism is a natural thing here, from the boardwalk to the beaches. We would like to just sort of weave our way into that fabric and be a part of it, not intrusive, but also after some period of time, make it seem as if we're always here. The startup is usually dramatic, sometimes overly dramatic. At the end of the day, we're kind of here and gone in minutes in terms of the train service and so forth. We'd like to go about this the right way. We would welcome having collaborative discussions with special interest groups and various municipalities.
Abbott.
Yeah, thank you. You came out from Minnesota?
Yes, we flew in. Okay.
Abbott.
Yeah, thank you. You came out from Minnesota?
Yes, we flew in.
Okay.
Yes.
How do you like it here?
Like it very much.
Okay.
I thought that was clear. You know, we're staying at the Dream Inn, so what's there not to like? You know, yeah. I saw about 100 surfers out there yesterday. Are there no sharks here?
Don't open up that.
Yeah, population control.
Anyway, welcome here, and I'll make this quick. That'll allow people in the public to speak, and so I'll hold it to a minimum. We are not making a decision today, to make that clear to everybody. We're not voting on a contract today. We're looking and just reviewing everything right now, right?
That is correct. The decision for you today is not to vote on a contract, but to actually authorize negotiating a contract.
And then real quick, suntan special. I guess we all realize that it would have to go through Watsonville. It can't go over the Santa Cruz Mountain.
Not over the pass anymore, not since 1941 or 2 or whatever it was. That would be too treacherous, in particular first of all, the rail's not there. But to try and reinstate it, you'd really be subjected to your winter storms. The safer, faster pathway is actually to go down around the mountains and back up. When they changed from through the pass to down around Watsonville, it only added 20 minutes to the historic suntan special. And so that's a fast corridor now from San Jose going south, and we would like to either get trackage rights or coordinate with one of the existing carriers and use Watsonville essentially as the turnaround point to go back up.
Okay, and then quickly, excursions would be basically from Aptos to Santa Cruz in the beginning, because we really couldn't get a train all the way from Watsonville going all the way to Santa Cruz right now, right?
There is some damage on the track. That's correct. And as was mentioned before, staff is working to repair those damages. And right now, there isn't any equipment that can get beyond, you know, just a little past Watsonville.
And that would come under setup. What do you call it? Work with RTC to restore railroad. That really should be like phase one or whatever. Thank you.
Commissioner Rios and then Bertrand.
Maybe it's a silly question. Thank you very much for your presentation. Why do you want to come here with all these regulations and a lot of opposition and people don't want it, some people, and you're taking a chance and all this stuff. Why?
Well, so first of all, it's what we do. We've made a very successful enterprise out of doing exactly this. This would not be the first time we've dealt with opposition. The line that I was describing as our crown jewel primarily hauls frac sand. And it was town meetings and forums just like this one, in which we just put forward the positives and the negatives. And hopefully at the end of the day, everyone can understand that there's a net positive impact. It's hard. We don't have any illusion to think that everything's perfect in what we do. But on balance, we think it's usually the smart thing to do. And that's what we stand for. So we're not shy about this sort of engagement. We just like to do it the right way and be transparent about it. So we're happy to be here.
Commissioner Bertrand.
So I'm impressed with your business model in terms of rediscovering railroad. So it seems like you are fitting into a niche for Class 1 carriers, in the sense they can't do the last half mile or mile. Is that how you characterize it?
So there's a couple of different dimensions to answer your question directly. We hunt and gather customers for the Class 1s that they essentially don't do anymore. They're glad to receive, on occasion, glad to receive inbound inquiries, but they don't really go out and seek new customers like they used to. It used to be a natural part of their business. It's not quite the same anymore, and so we fulfill that aspect. And then the second aspect is more operationally. Mm-hmm. We provide service 24/7 on demand as customers need it, one car, two cars, 10 cars, 100 cars. We don't really have a limitation. And we don't keep track of operating ratios and so forth like the Class 1s do, because they're all public. Mm-hmm. They're all catering to Wall Street, and they're trying to keep all their metrics to look like they're very efficient and wise users of shareholder capital. We don't have to track that. We just about the type of service. We care about safety, obviously, and integrity. And we do that as a complement to the Class 1, since they don't have the wherewithal anymore to do that on their own, because it's, for them, it's diminishing returns.
Okay, some follow-up. So would this, as you develop more of this particular customer base, would this result in more jobs in Watsonville on a significant level? You're talking about pack and break or repackaging, reprocessing. I mean, can you describe that a little bit more? Because that could be of great benefit in Watsonville.
It would come in phases. So in the beginning, we have in mind some restoration to the rail that we would like to undertake. And so with that, you have crews and so forth. When we start getting into warehousing, which we think we've identified a warehouse that we'd like to go after and secure, then you start getting into more multiples of employees. You start getting into the dozens of employees. When you get into excursions, then you start really branching out and expanding the employment base, because you need support, you need the entertainment aspect, you need the ticketing aspect, the safety aspect. It starts to really start to blossom. So at some point, it starts to feed on itself. The trick is always just to catalyze it in the beginning.
Okay, thanks. So I notice on one of your on your org chart, Air Lake Terminal Railroad. What's the story there? I looked it up. It's a very short line, but it's inactive. Can you tell us the story of that, or would you? Excuse me.
So Air Lake is where our headquarters is. It is active.
Oh, but this particular line, at least on the org chart, says inactive.
Oh, sorry. That's as a legal entity.
Oh, but, okay. But sorry.
Because it's up at the parent.
Okay, got it. So, okay, so it's handed at the. Okay, got it.
That is our headquarters. Mm-hmm. So some of the photographs in our submittal show our headquarters. That is Air Lake. And I'd just like to mention that when we entered Air Lake, there was nothing there. And through our direct efforts, through us being the first movers, we not only brought the rail back to service, we increased all the warehousing capabilities, which fed trucking, which then brought in more customers. And now if you drive through Air Lake, and again, I would invite any of the commissioners to come and see this, It is the busiest industrial area of Minneapolis today. This is in the southern suburbs of Minneapolis, and it's a thriving area. The people have sort of forgotten that it was us, but it's all around us now.
So another one. So I'm very impressed that you're able to work with organizations such as RTC, the state, I believe, Southern Carolina, which Carolina or Raleigh, what state or
North Carolina? North Carolina Department of Transportation.
Yeah. Yes. So that's particularly important to us here. Do you see particular challenges working with, you know, a civil entity and all that that may entail, with so much participation from the public as opposed to just a business entity?
Well, in any business situation, when you have more parties and more stakeholders, it becomes more sophisticated and requires more effort. We're not shy about that. We just need to make sure that everyone's aligned with what we're doing. We're very happy working for municipalities or working for government. We provide a service that they don't want to undertake themselves. In that regard, it's complementary. In the case of North Carolina DOT, we're coming up on a year. It's a fantastic relationship. We are doing things for them that they haven't even thought of, and as a result, they have opened more doors for us, and so they're allowing us to branch out and spread our wings, which feeds us more business, which allows us to do even more work, and then that even impresses them more, and so it starts to build momentum.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
I just had maybe one or two short questions. Your plan looks about creating quiet zones. We've had other operators where horns have been very impactful. You talked about working with the jurisdictions to help those quiet zones happen. How long does that usually take, and what would be the requirements on the other jurisdictions to be able to participate in this?
I took a chance in putting this in our submittal because I can appreciate it's a hot topic, typically. And in particular in this area, there's a serene aspect to it, and an air horn is not necessarily complementary to that. So in the first instance, there are different types of horns. And so some of them are more obnoxious than not. I just want to say that as a very small step. With regard to quiet zones, we as an operator won't have the capacity to instate that. It has to come from the municipalities themselves. What we would be happy to do is basically champion it, organize it, and work with the FRA. FRA will have to absolutely sign off on how you go about it and so forth. But there's nothing stopping from Capitola through, say, Swift Street in Santa Cruz to instate a quiet zone there. It would take millions of dollars, so I want to be clear about that. But the crossings can be organized, and you can either go fully quiet or you can go down to sort of bell chime, like happens in some mass transits and some of the trams. So there's different levels of quiet that you can go about. It would usually take a couple of years to put in place, and it would be a significant undertaking in its own regard. But we can't get in the way of municipalities. We can facilitate it, and ultimately it comes down to the county or the cities themselves.
Okay.
To champion it, and we would just like to help make it happen if it's an important objective. If it's not, then it's not.
Thank you very much. I want to, Commissioner Bertrand, I want to make sure to get to the public.
Just one more question.
Do you have a brief question? Yeah.
Very brief.
These people in this community are focused on right now. So I noticed from your timeline chart, you recognize that the Unified Corridor Study is going to be coming out, and that's later in this year. So if it went in the way of, it's just not economically feasible for us to have a rail line on our current corridor from Davenport to Watsonville. I'd like to know your response to that. And the second part of that question is, do you think a component of your business could exist standalone just out of Watsonville, providing all the jobs there, the packing stuff like that for the Class 1 carriers? So that's sort of what I'd like you to address.
Well, so can't predict. But, you know, we will respect the outcome. And obviously, if there's no railroad, then there's no need for an operator. But, you know, we're taking a calculated risk that the outcome of that study or number of studies, if it turns into that, will be favorable towards rail, because we think it is a meaningful and obvious, in our eyes, a solution for going forward on both freight and passengers. With regard to if there is no rail, then we would be glad to honor the wishes of the RTC in that regard. If you're asking me what do we think about narrowing down the operations, just disappointing to us, just to be very clear about that, we would like to actually have railroads come back to life. So again, that's sort of what we stand for. But, you know, we need some runtime in Watsonville to actually catalyze it and get it going. It could be fine.
Okay, thanks. That's what I was looking for. Thank you.
Supervisor McPherson.
Yeah, welcome to Santa Cruz. Thank you for your presentation, and thank you for having the guts to come into this subject matter, which is probably the most controversial one in the county, about the rail line and how it's going to be used.
Didn't know that when I got on the plane.
Yeah, right. Oh. In light of the two previous operators being primarily freight operators, and this going to be really started or dependent on freight operations, I understand the responsibility we have for freight service according to the Surface Transportation Board, but I have no any indication, and you said you're going to be talking with you want to have these the agricultural community in particular come back to freight service, but I have no indication that they really want to go there, and it just makes me uneasy that are we going to just do this all over again for the third time. And that's not a direct attack on your company or anything. I'm just very uncertain that this turnaround will take place to give you the foundation for a successful operation. I don't know. I just haven't heard that from the staff. I haven't heard it. Nobody's come to me to say, yes, this is great. Let's go. I'm an agricultural operation, and I really want to, I'm going to switch. I'm going to sell my trucks and go to rail. There's no indication of that at all. And I'm uncomfortable without that.
And your comment is one that we've heard before, because as I was mentioning earlier in my remarks, people have forgotten how to use rail. You can call up a truck and usually get a rate in 30 minutes. A lot of times for rail, it might take 30 days. So the world doesn't work that way easily. It takes a lot of planning and preparation. And so therefore, what we have to do is basically do all the hard work, all the legwork, bring it all together as a solution, and this is what I meant by a comprehensive solution, and go to the customer and have the right conversation. You are spending this much on trucking, getting whatever product inbound or wherever you're taking it outbound. Here's what we can do for you. Let's try let's go through a pilot and do a couple of rail cars and see if it works for you. Great, that worked. Let's go do some more. Let's do more. Hang on, this customer here is doing it. What am I missing? And then it starts to feed on itself. So this is what we've seen time and time again, and I would absolutely welcome you to come visit us and see this. And I can bring you to different operations within our railroad that started out just like what you're describing.
I'm not interested in going.
Get he's used to. All right. Well, thank you very much for the presentation. I do want to give a chance for us to hear public comment. We may have you come back up for other questions. I'd like to get a show of hands of how many people would like to